Can all your friends remember you? I love you and miss you, and I will do everything I can to keep you happy. I love you forever, Lee.
Robert Parrow.
Diane Marie Parsons.
Leobardo Lopez Pasquale.
Michael J. Pascuma Jr.
Gerald Hughes Paskins.
Horace Robert Passananti.
Suzanne H. Passaro.
Avnish Ramambai Patel.
Dipti Patel.
Manish Patel.
Stephen Bennett Patterson.
James Matthew Patrick.
Manuel D. Patrocino.
Bernard E. Patterson.
Clifford L. Patterson, Jr.
Sarah Marie Patty.
Robert E. Patterson.
James Robert Paul.
And my brother-in-law, David Haldeman, who died while saving others. We take comfort in reminding ourselves that God's grace is forever.
And my brother, Alexander Ortiz, who sacrificed his life to save others. You will always be a hero. I also was here on this tragic day, and I always remember. God bless America.
You're listening to WBBR New York and around the world on satellite radio. Tom Keene here at the World Trade Center, this day of remembrance, 10 years on. September 11, it is a gray sky, not dark, not threatening of rain, but certainly not the perfect sunny day it was 10 years ago. I am thrilled to have with me today Michael McKee, who was here so close, too close for September 11th, and truly escaped with his life. His photograph, I would say without question, the most famous picture we have had, most well-regarded picture we have had, as he narrowly escaped tragedy here. Michael, just an exceptional day of, I think, architectural surprise and emotion. And we tried to find a person who could bring perspective of the immediacy of the days following 9/11. Of course, attuned so much to the political economics of our day. He's Raymond Professor of Economics at Stanford University. His book, Global Financial Warriors, was shocking in its immediacy of the days following September 11th. We welcome John Taylor. Professor, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
An interesting day. Your thoughts as we see former officers. Secretary Powell was in Peru at the time. Secretary Rumsfeld mentioned by Vice President Biden today at the Pentagon. Where were you on September 11th, and what did you do in the immediate days?
I was the Undersecretary of the Treasury for International Affairs at the time and was on a mission to Japan to negotiate on some financial matters and it was in a hotel in Japan when the tragedy happened, and flew back on a military plane, and my life was completely different after that.
We used to kid, Michael, that John Taylor spent 370 out of 365 days of the year out of the country. What was your mission by President Bush?
With the international affairs at that time was to try to rein in the recession we were in, quite frankly. You remember, that was a recession at that point. And to work with other countries, including Japan, to try to remedy it. Japan's economy was not in good shape. And so we had crises in emerging markets. It was, in some sense, the kind of story you hear so often in an international arena. And then 9/11 hit, and everything changed. It was then we were going to try to find the terrorist assets. President Bush soon thereafter issued a statement that an executive order to freeze the assets, and we worked with every country in the world to make sure that happened.
I would imagine that the level of cooperation you received was very strong at the time.
It was amazing when you look back on that. I remember the speech the president gave in the Congress and talking about Tony Blair, and just every time we called on the phone to ask for help in freezing assets or tracing the money or finding information, intelligence, everyone was just so enthusiastic to help. What could they do? The sympathy was outpouring in every single case.
Was there any talk at that time of how we were going to pay for this war on terror that came forward. A lot of people have said that one of the mistakes President Bush made was not calling for national sacrifice. Was that discussed?
Well, not in those first few days, of course. The first few days were making sure there was not going to be another attack. The Secret Service was very concerned about the White House and buildings nearby, the Treasury, of course, right next to the White House. And then right away, trying to, from the financial people, like myself, finding ways to stop the money flows. Because in a way, the first shot in this war on terror was to stop the flows of money, because of course Al-Qaeda was using those flows. So it was more or less how to stop the money to the enemy, to the terrorists, rather than to find a strategy on our side. In the meantime, of course, the defense issues and the military issues were being deliberated and debated in the Pentagon and elsewhere.
When you look, Professor Taylor, at our effort to move forward as we look back today and look down on this, literally, John, you have to see this construction site. It is absolutely remarkable, the immediate success of these memorials with the etchings being made. We need to move forward, and we know of a resilient spirit in this nation. How do you assess our economy right now? After not this crisis, as we see two young lads at the podium here reading names, we go on now to a young girl and a woman as we go through the reading of the names. But, John, how do you assess this economy now as we try to move forward from this 2011?
Well, the economy is not in good shape. It concerns me. We are supposed to be in a recovery. We're not recovering. The growth is so low. And so it's very important to focus on that now. I think when you're hearing the people at the podium, what strikes me about, and a reason to be so optimistic that we'll get these problems solved, is this so-called next greatest generation, a new greatest generation. Many of who served in Afghanistan, Iraq, but more generally, it seems to me I see a very promising spirit in this country. And to me, that's the news and most promising. So we will get this together, but right now it is tough for many people, high unemployment and low economic growth.
John Taylor, thank you for joining us today. Raymond Professor, Stanford University, the former Undersecretary of Treasury, International Affairs, and we greatly appreciate him attending. His book was remarkable, Michael. I just thought that we see here the monument in Battery Park. I just actually visited this monument a month ago. Quite moving how they moved that from the front of the Trade Center down to Battery Park, completely destroyed, and you can get quite close to it.
Yes.
Somebody's too close.
A large sculpture, a globe, and it heavily damaged during the collapse of the towers. It's been moved to Battery Park, and you can see it there.
The reading of the names. We move on as we have been doing for 10 years. There can be sadness and remembrance, but as John Taylor was just mentioning, one of the hallmarks today, Michael, is the word grandparent came up a little more than I believe I've ever heard. And
it has been 10 years.
These brave 11-year-olds and 13-year-olds get your attention.
Edward J. Rao.
Lucas Rombusek.
Maria Ramirez.
Harry Ramos.
Vishnu Ramasroop.
Deborah A. Ramsauer.
Lorenzo E. Ramsey.
Alfred Todd Ranke.
Adam David Rand.
Jonathan C. Randall.
Shreyas S. Ranganath.
Ann T. Ransom.
My dad,
Kevin Patrick Connors. We miss you and we love you very much.
And my son, firefighter Dennis Patrick Goldberg, ladder 105, we miss you and we love you.
Faina Rappaport. Rhonda Sue Rasmussen.
Robert A. Rasmussen.
Aminia Rasool.
A wonderful short story from the New Yorker magazine, Ian Fraser, writing only in recent days, and I strongly recommend this to all of you as we hear these stories at the World Trade Center, each of them individual. This is about, and John Tucker would have to help us here, Michael McKee. This is about Bus 66 and Salvatore Siano, who drove so many of these victims of murder from New Jersey over the bridge through the tunnel to their work. And Ian, I think, just did a fabulous job. It is entitled Passengers. Look for it in the New York magazine. It's superb effort of the 679 New Jerseyans that died in the attacks.
Love you and miss you every day until we meet again. Oh, by the way, Emily and Lily, say hello.
And my father, Matthew Piserno, we miss and love you so much. You are my world. I have your smile, your eyes, and your laugh, but I just don't have you. The second I'm in your arms once again will be the happiest moment I could ever imagine. I love you, Daddy.
Howard Reich.
Greg Reedy.
James Brian Riley.
Kevin O. Riley.
Timothy E. Riley.
Joseph Rena Jr.
Thomas Barnes Reinig.
Frank Bennett Reisman.
Joshua Scott Rice.
Karen Renda.
John Armand Rayo.
Richard Cyril Rescola.
John Thomas Resta.
Sylvia Sampio Resta.
Martha M. Reske.
David E. Retic.
Todd H. Rubin.
Luis Clodialdo Rivera Mier.
And my big brother, Gino Luigi Calvi. Mommy, Daddy, Rebecca, your niece and nephew that you've never met, Sophia Peter, your best friends, Andrew, Wayne, Charlie, Barry, your cousins, your aunts and uncles. We miss and love you dearly.
And my uncle and godfather, Donald Joseph DeFranco. We love you and miss you, and we wish we could just see you one more time to give you one last hug. Love you.
Eduvigis Reyes Jr.
Bruce Albert Reynolds.
John Frederick Rhodes.
Francis Severio Riccardelli.
Rudolph N. Riccio.
Anne Marie Riccoboni.
David Harlow Rice.
Eileen Marie Rice.
Kenneth Frederick Rice III.
Cecilia E. Richard.
Vernon Allen Richard.
Claude Daniel Richards.
Vanessa Orincia Richards.
Michael Richards.
Alan J. Richman.
Jimmy Richards.
And my husband, Joseph Piscadlo. We love you and miss you every day of our lives.
John M. Rigo. And my husband, Steve Policino. Steve, as I stand here with this newly unveiled plaza behind me, I come forward with other family members. We summon our strength, and we speak the names of those who were murdered on this spot. Although transformed, the horror that happened here 10 years ago still lingers in our minds and souls. 10 years might have passed, but the pain hasn't. For rescue recovery workers, military personnel, and their families, the pain gets worse. It is grave, it is current, and clearly a direct result of what happened on that day, but certainly didn't end that day. 10 years, and are we still without satisfactory answers to what went on this day and how this event could have happened to our great nation, leaving a void for so many families. For our family, Steve, the sound of your absence is deafening, but I think you would agree that both our children have lived their lives we had hoped for. I am missing you now more than ever as I watch our son, with our grandson, Nicholas, who was born just a little more than 2 weeks ago, With birth, there is hope. And when I hold our grandson, I'm holding heaven, and I thank God.